If I could take you away, pretend I was queen, what would you say? Would you think I unread? Cause everybody's got the way I should feel.
Welcome to Big Little Questions on Midwave Radio. I'm Dee Dee, your host, and I'm here with my friend Juliana. Juliana, can you hear us? Can you speak to us?
Hi, I can hear you, and I'm now speaking. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so glad that you're here. We are on air. As always, if you're listening, you should let me know how the sound sounds, how everyone's sound sounds. And as we do that, I'll just give a little, you know, introduction as we do. So, Juliana, we have known each other for a long time, over a decade at this point, for 11 years. And listeners, you'll maybe be tired of hearing me say this at this point, but we know each other from the Scripps National Spelling Bee in 2010. And you might be wondering how it is that everyone made so many friends at the Spelling Bee, and I'll tell you that Juliana is really a big part of that. And there are two, I feel like, reasons for that I can think of. Well, three. One is you're amazing. One is that Juliana was a not one, not two, not three, but four-time competitor in the National Spelling Bee. And so by the time the rest of us got there that year, like, you had some community, you kind of knew how it worked, and you were good at, like, facilitating that in other people. And Two is there's a little thing called the Ambush Club or the Ambush Crew, which was the like Juliana's little clique has a bad connotation. Juliana's little, I don't know, crew, harem of people who would like welcome spellers as they got there at the beginning of the week. And I just remember arriving, you know, it's the end of 7th grade. I walk up to, into the hotel where we're doing check-in, and I just like immediately am walked up to by this group of like five like shining enthusiastic people who are like, "What's your name? Where are you from? Will you sign my V book?" And so that was the beginning. And in the time since then, in the many years since then, we have been continually in each other's lives in different free at like different frequencies, like not always in a day-to-day way, but you know, forever coming back to each other. And for a while there, we were G real G-chat friends. We had, you know, these like 11,000 line G-chats like every night in like 8th grade. I don't even know what we talked about. Like, I have truly no idea. And we were, you know, we were early Tumblr adopters with each other. I think you were the person I learned the word meme from. And I think really just like we were the we in middle school and early high school, like we were, I think, just people who like all of my friends knew your name and like all of your friends knew my name. And that was just like we were just like that is who we were. And some other things to say about you, and then I'll hand it over to you, is that lots of things that I love about you. One of the things that I love about you, and I'm reminded of on literally a daily basis, is my room is, I have a lot of things up in my room, like cards from friends and pictures and posters and stuff like that. But like the, not the majority, but the plurality of things, there are more postcards from you than there are of any one other thing. And like, I just, it is so incredible because I like look around my room and I see like in your handwriting that I have come to know over this decade, like all of these things. And I love the postal service, but like, I think you really bring that to a, like, you are committed to connection at that frequency in a way that I am so grateful for and appreciative of, and also just like find really fun. And generally, I love your creative, connective brain. And I love still being in each other's lives. And I feel like for a time, lots of people used to think we looked like each other, which I don't think is wrong, but we would joke. We were like, we're sisters, we're cousins, we're, I'm your mother, you're my daughter, whatever. And I really think that the way that I feel is like, you feel like my cousin. Like, you feel like you're like a part of my family in that way. And I'm happy to have you on episode 13 of Big Little Questions. So welcome, Julie. And over to you for anything that you want to add about anything.
Wow, I am so staggered by those descriptions because it's really weird. I feel like you're the person who really consistently reminds me of the fact that I did this ambush crew thing. I'm like, what?
This is so cool.
But like, also, it's really weird because you specifically were someone that it just sounds so not weird, I guess, when you say it like that, but I remember specifically wanting to meet you since before I even stepped on the spelling bee that year, because like something that I would do was like look at the speller roster where like all the almost 300 spellers were,
LOL.
and like yeah, like every I'd be like right before the competition, I'd be like, okay, I want to see who all these people are and like see who stands out to me, who I'd like want to seek out specifically. And like you were one of the, I guess, three or four people that maybe I was like, okay, if I want to meet like some, you were one of those people. And I remember just like meeting you, and we clicked so well. You were, I don't know, like, and also you met me when I feel like I was still forming like the core of who I am today. So there's always going to be for me that feeling that we, I don't know, we met each other at this very particular moment that you can't really undo, right? Because like you meet people at other points in your life and they know you from having, you know, already having grown and grown into this person that you became. But I feel like, you know, I was still sort of molding myself when you opened up a lot of these things that you mentioned about me, like, for example, the postal thing, like,
oh my God.
I feel like you inspired my snail mail revolution. Like,
shout out to Ellen, like, also here in this world, for snail mail revolution among the spellers. Gotta bring it in.
Oh, yeah, like, you sent me my first ever care package, the first letter I ever received.
Oh
the
my
first
God, Julie!
I ever received.
Wait, I did not know that. Oh my God!
Yeah, like, you were. I had never received anything in the mail before you sent me that, and like, I was so struck by that we could connect, or like, people could connect in this like analog different way that just felt so particular. Like, this was directed to me, that it just always stuck, and so it's really funny to hear you say that, because I just feel like I don't know if I would have ended up, like, realizing how much I love doing this if you had not shown me that first, because I guess I think of my friends now, and I don't think, you know, it would have been the natural instinct of, like, anyone I knew to necessarily go that direction, or, like, show affection or, like, connection through, like, letters or postcards or, you know, packages in this way, until you maybe showed it to me, and then I showed it to them, and now over, like, quarantine, it's become a thing. I feel like I hear every day of, like, ripples of people who started doing this wow. But it also feels like I didn't start, like, you know, I always credit you. Like, I always tell my friends, oh yeah, like, because of Didi, like, she got me into this, and I never stopped. And yeah, like, for you, I feel like you were someone who made me, you know, who was always verbalizing or making real the questions that I sort of had maybe bumbling in my head. And so you sort of made me, like, engage with that in a more direct way than maybe I had been doing before. So, you know, you always made me think, and I don't know, I really liked thinking. I don't remember all the stuff that we would talk about before, but I remember,
oh,
like,
God,
just being but I remember just, like, being glued to my computer, like, waiting, like, oh my God, like, the times, like, looking at the time zone and looking at, like, oh my God, Didi's gonna be out of school, like, in this time, like, I don't know, maybe she's gonna tune in later.
Oh,
and
yes,
we'll be able to talk all night. And, like, I would write, I would cry, and I feel like it was cute, because I would practice writing in Hebrew, and like, you would be doing your Spanish, and so we were always doing, like, kind of a cultural exchange in that sense. And
yeah,
I don't know, I feel like there's so many other things I could say.
There's endless
say about you, but like, yeah, but these are just some. But yeah, I definitely wanted to mention how I feel like so much of who I am today was feel so inspired and, like, influenced by you directly in such a direct way.
What an intro that we have given each other. I really, there's so much more in everything that you just said. You brought back so many even more things. You used to write to me in Hebrew. You would write, like, I love you in Hebrew, and, like, write it out and send it to me. And I still have all those things. Like, why is it so goddamn hard for me to, like, clean up all my shit in my room at home? It's because I'm like, well, okay, fine, I'll open a box, and then I have to, like, read every card that you wrote me between, like, 2010 and 2015 or whatever. So, yeah, just, like, so, so amazing, and so happy to have you here in this context, in addition to in my life in all contexts. And I want to move to our question to start with.
Yes.
And do you have the doc open by any chance? It's okay if not.
I didn't, but
No.
I do.
It's all good.
Yeah,
I'll send you on iMessage, and if you want to read, I meant to send the question. If you want to read the first question that we chose together, and then I'll kind of introduce it.
Yeah. Okay. So the first question, which is sort of always like two questions, is what is rootedness and what is stuckness, and also what is openness versus flight.
Yeah. And so, just to give a time context, so this question is from September 29th of 2020, so just this past year. So deep into COVID, kind of end of summer, beginning of fall. I know that for me, I was kind of like I guess I'm staying in Chicago. I guess I'm applying to a job here, but I don't really know. But this is where I am. And I think that was definitely part of what I was thinking about in this question. And so I'm curious for you, because I feel like yesterday when we were going through the questions, like, I could tell, like, you kept coming back to this one. So I really want to hear, like, what is it about this question that was calling to you? And what are your kind of, like, initial thoughts on the question? And wait, one more thing. Just, I'm trying to be better at this, repeating the question throughout. So the question is, what is rootedness and what is stuckness? What is openness versus flight? Okay.
All yours, yeah. Julie. Okay. Okay. So for me, I feel like this, I kept coming back to this question because this is just something that has also been actively in my mind, like, for months, because I, like you, and I feel like we have this parallel where you're in Chicago, like, you know, your hometown, after having been out for a while, and I'm back also, and mm-hmm. also in my hometown in Mayagüez, where I still am. You know, I've been here for more than a year already, and for all of COVID, and I feel like my hometown has always made me feel, in many ways, for most of my life, stuck, so, like, in mm-hmm. the stuckness, and I've always been at odds of, like, whether I feel rooted in, like, living here, or whether I might need to live in another part of the island to feel more rooted to being here, or, you know, just sort of feeling that stuckness all the time, until I started sort of contending with it and then, like, engaging with this in a different way. So I don't know. I was like, I was wondering how you were feeling about that, and maybe where you were with that, because I was figuring that you might have your own feelings about being in Chicago, considering you've been you know, for the past few years, you've been kind of hopping all mm-hmm. over the world, and, like, being and you're always just used to being, you know, like, moving or going different places. So I just felt like maybe it would be cool to see where we're both on that yeah. page of, like, where we are with that stuckness.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good and intro. Yeah. You go ahead.
Yeah, so I did wonder, like, what for you, what to you feels like rootedness now?
Yeah.
Or maybe what feels like stuckness to you, particularly, like, in this moment, if you have yeah. an answer to that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. I love, and I think I had thought about this before, and, like, the parallel there of us both being, like, where we are deeply from. And so I love that yeah. is, like, what you just were drawing out. I feel like, so something that I can't remember if I've talked about on this show, but something that I've, like, thought about a lot in these last couple months is that, like, I have a job in Chicago. I, like, will be here for the foreseeable future. For the first part of the pandemic, it was like, I'll be here until the next thing. And, you know, also in all of college, it was like, I'll be here for 4 months and then there for 4 months and then here for a summer. And, like, nothing ever had a, you know, everything had an end date. And I think that was, like, one, that was circumstance, right? Like, that's where I chose to go to school. That's what, like, that's what the world brought me to. But also a lot of it was like, I was like, oh my God, how do people plan for 2 years in advance? Like, what, people are getting jobs and going to their PhDs and, like, buying, getting a 1 year lease on a place? Like, that's crazy. and then, you know, obviously pandemic changed a lot of things, but I actually think it was really last summer for me in, like, uprising mode and uprising moment when it was like, I think I was seeing a lot of things that were being witness to a lot of relationships, both between people and between people and institutions and between people and Chicago, that I was like, oh, the only reason that this is possible is because people are, like, rooted here or have chosen to become rooted here. And, like, I don't know, I feel like the classic example I always turn to is, like, you know, jail support. Like, so, like, people would get arrested at a protest and then there would be a call to, like, go and sit at like outside of the, like, police precinct as, like, accountability for the police and also as, like, once the person got released to make sure they had, like, had clothes and food and a phone to call home and whatever. So we'd be, like, sitting out there at, like, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. And, you know, I was there with, like, you know, my little crew of friends and people from Hyde Park, which was great, but I was also just, like, so awed all the time by all the people around me where I was like, oh, they know what to do. They, like, know how to activate this mm-hmm. system of support. They know how to call on each other. They know what people are likely to need when they're getting released. They know, like, who – they know who each other's, you know – emergency contacts are and all of this. And all of that is because, like, you do the, like, slow work of, like, building a thing in a place. And I think that really shifted. I didn't even know that I'd had so much of this mindset before. I think that really shifted me from a mindset of, like, the, like, you should, one, you should always do the hard thing. And two, the hard thing is always, like, going to do something new. To a mindset both of, like, wait, why should you always do the hard thing? And two, of, like, oh, the hard thing is actually, like, in staying, not in leaving. The hard thing is in, like, staying and building things. So I feel like the one piece of this answer is to me that there has been, like, I feel like my... I would have defined it the same, stuckness, the same as I'm now defining rootedness, except for now it has a positive connotation where before it was like, it felt like a claustrophobic thing. Yeah, I'm curious what resonates of that or like what feels different.
Yeah, well, I feel like in it, what something that resonates or something that I can find a connection to in like that rootedness was sort of around election time. Mm. I feel like I was a voluntary poll worker.
Oh, yeah.
I'd never done this sort of thing. I didn't even think I was going to be involved until something really called on me to do this, like 2 days before the elections here in PR, which
I remember that.
Was very intense because for the first time, I think in over 50 years, like the independence candidate had garnered a lot of attention and people were talking about like his possibility earnestly, or people who had been voting for one political party their entire lives, and like, you know, this is like voting for parties here in Puerto Rico is something that's very like, it almost feels hereditary because it's like if your parents voted for, no, like I'm not even it's like I remember when I was small, my grandma would just be like, you know, if you're not a popular, like, or if you say any, if you slander the populars, like get out of my house. And I'd be like, oh, okay, like that feels intense. And I didn't really understand what that meant or anything, but so I decided to do this because I had heard of instances where like poll workers could call out irregularities that they were seeing of like actual voter fraud or like weird things happening, like irregularities of like foul play done by other poll workers or like the opposing parties in like mixing the result and making it so that they win. So like it's funny because in the U.S. I was very not thinking about the U.S. election by the time this was happening because I was like, wow, this feels so tangible. You can feel in the air that something different might happen this year, and like this third party might have a chance of going from the laughing stock of the political establishment to something that we might have a chance of seeing in our lifetimes change, like the tide changing in political sentiment here. And I just remember feel like sitting in my bed and being like, wow, the idea that I'll just be sitting in my bed and just, you know, I cast my vote and not having tried my absolute best to make sure that at least in the rooms that I was going to be observing, there would be no foul play, just feels completely wrong to me. Like I cannot just sit back and like watch like the new progressive party win by cheating. Like I cannot, you know, and I know that I was only going to be contributing to a very tiny segment of people, like just a few hundred people from like my neighborhood. Like I was going to be in that polling place specifically. Mm-hmm. It feels so small, but I felt so compelled to do it that, you know, I went to the training. I just decided I didn't think about it. And there was COVID happening and everything. Mm-hmm. So I'd been super nervous about it. And I've been one of these people who was like extremely diligent since like before the pandemic even was called a pandemic. Like when this was happening in Italy, still I was already nervous about the pandemic before I made it to the US.
Yeah.
And so like I feel like it was this strange moment of conviction where I felt like, wow, I must be here even though I might be risking myself to do this. Mm-hmm. And I just went for it, you know, I convinced myself to do it and I did. And I felt really good about it in the end because I knew that nobody messed with the process. And there were poll workers from the other parties who I did see trying to sway voters into because you obviously you can see them vote if they have questions with like what the ballots look like, because they're really intentionally confusing in the island. And so if they come to you and they're asking for help with like how to deal with the ballots and how to vote properly so that you don't waste it, you can go over there to check it. But whenever like a lady would go over to help someone vote, she would be like, oh no, if you just press the X, that'll vote for the entire time, and then you don't have to work. Yeah, like you don't have to worry about making any mistakes.
Oh my god!
And this was considering like someone wanting to vote a mixed, as in like let's say you want to vote for candidates from one party and candidates for another. There's like a specific way that you can do that without ruining the ballot. And this lady would just say like, oh yeah, we've had problems with ballots that try to like people who try to vote with mixed ballots. So you should just mark it the X over one and then just vote for one party. And I'm like, oh my god.
So you single-handedly saved Puerto Rican democracy. Is what I'm hearing. Just kidding. No, but I do have a question there. It's like, oh, aside from the lesson in Puerto Rican civics, which I do appreciate. I think one like thing to draw out of what you're saying, or I want to ask, is like, it feels like you were like, oh, okay, I'm invested in this thing, or I'm like choosing to be invested in this thing. So I'm wondering, okay, this is kind of a left field question, maybe. I'm wondering what you think the relationship between like investment in a thing or a place is, and whether that feels like rootedness or stuckness. I feel like I have a thought on this, but I wanna hear you first if you have things to say.
Wait, did you mean as in what it made me?
Yeah. Okay, a clarification. If I'm invested in a thing, I feel like that is the thing that often makes me feel like, oh, this is rootedness rather than stuckness. Like I am choosing to be here. I'm choosing to commit to this. I'm choosing to invest in this. That makes me feel rooted in this rather than the like flip side of that emotion being stuck. But I know that also there's sometimes when I'm like, oh, I've like put so much into this and now I feel stuck in this because it's already like sunk cost and I've already put so much into this and I can't like leave this alone even if I like want to be able to make a new decision here. So I guess if you have thoughts on that part of it.
Yeah, so I feel like, I do feel like having done this maybe directly made me feel very rooted to this moment. And also, I also did feel like this generational thing where like suddenly everybody my age and like people of my generation just felt very connected to this moment. And in a way that engaged with politics as in engaged with wanting to engage with these structures and like tackling this together instead of this feeling of you know, we're feeling stuck in the island and we might have to leave because as rooted as we want to feel, or like whether we feel rooted or not, we're gonna have to leave because there's no opportunities here. Like all that went out the window in this moment that we saw the election results, and like we saw there was like a 14%, this like Juan Dalmau, who was the independence candidate, like he got 14%, and that's historic. We had never seen that, and that was huge for us. And so in that moment, I felt really rooted. And I remember like having this whole existential crisis of like, oh my God, like, should I stay here? Like, should I, you know, be like help build this party up, mm-hmm. and do like, you know, and get involved in this and make something of it? Or, you know, I really became enraptured in this because I wasn't riding in this rootedness of the moment of like, wondering if I should be one of those people like you, like in that moment, wondering like, you know, should we stay? Should we be part of those, like this big network of like showing resistance in our hometowns, mm-hmm. or, you know, or should I like regardless of this moment of me feeling rooted in this very specific moment post-election, like basking in this glow, is this just like a temporary illusion? Will I want to be like antsy to leave? Mm-hmm. Like I have always wanted to leave, mm-hmm. eventually, you know? Mm-hmm. So in that moment, I wasn't sure. It was like a flurry of emotions. And I wasn't sure like if this was, I mean, it wasn't an illusion of rootedness, because I did feel more rooted after that in like what it is to live here and all that. But there was also other factors that have made me feel, that reminded me of why I do feel stuck living here, and why maybe my hometown might not be the place for me to stay in, mm-hmm. like in the very near future. And I don't know. And I do feel like maybe we're at odds in this specific way, because I feel like I talk about this a lot with friends of like how the lack of public transit in Puerto Rico has always, you know, it just creates this feeling of loneliness and stuckness, because, you know, like for me, I was not able to freely navigate my own hometown until I was like 16 or 17 and I had to get a license to drive. You know, so if you don't have a car, you can't really go around and have fun and do all these things, hang out with your friends easily, unless like your parents help you out or whatever, and they take you and you're reliant on them. So I don't know. That's just one example of like what feeling stuck here felt which, like before.
Like mobility as part of the like the fulcrum of rootedness and stuckness.
Yeah. And I definitely realized that, like, you know, when I imagine like where it is that ideally I would want to be, I feel like I might not have a super defined sense of place, but I do know that I would like to be somewhere walkable. Mm-hmm. I like yearn for that. Like not only somewhere walkable, but somewhere where like public transit can at least facilitate a lot of my interactions, because that's just what I've been lacking for so long, what we're lacking here so much. And part of what I think made me feel very, very stuck or like in the past, or like part of that stuckness for me is always that.
Yeah.
So, well, and
go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, that I feel like it's funny because I remember like us growing up, and I'd be like, wow, you know, it always sounded like you were having adventures and stuff, or like you definitely had a lot more mobility and like were able to enjoy like Chicago more because of this access that you had. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this is so cool, like something very admirable, something I felt almost like I was not really having FOMO as in like I wish I were doing what you were doing, but I wish I had that where I am, because maybe I would have a different relationship to where I've always lived.
Yeah, I think that is really true. And I think like, oh man, lots to say about that in a pandemic sense, which I don't even have, I feel like I can't even put words to that yet. But also in like, it's funny because I like really don't leave the area that is like walkable and bikeable for me here. Like, I don't take advantage of the like I'm not, you know, especially in COVID I wasn't, but I'm not usually in Chicago in a you know, let me go all over the city because I can on public transport and all of this. And I have much more been that in places where I don't know as well. Like when I lived in different cities in Minerva, like I think I would do that much better. I would like, you know, if so, I would go to a cafe in a completely different city, completely different place, and I would like take the bus and the train to get there, or I would like go see a friend, or I would like go see a show or something. But at home in Hyde Park or like in Chicago, I'm like, okay, but I already know that, you know, it's probably close-minded. But, like I already know that like the things that I love are here. And so it's funny because I feel like, but then there's the like possibility of mobility. And then also this other like factor of what do you already know? One, like, is it available versus not, whether or not you're taking advantage of it and how that shifts how you feel. And two, like how well you know a place. And like, I don't think that is always a factor, but I think that that can be a factor in like rootedness versus stuckness. And it can go both ways. I don't think it's like a one-to-one, like if you know a place well, then you are rooted there and not stuck. Like clearly not. yeah, just some of the things I'm thinking about. But it also makes me think about the other half of this question, and just a reminder, the whole question is what is rootedness and what is stuckness? What is openness versus flight? And it makes me think about the second half of this question, the like openness versus flight part of this. And I wonder what you think about with that, what that brings to mind.
So I feel like when I saw the openness, I felt like you were, I don't know if my first thought was like openness to experience, like, does it have to do with that? Or like openness to, I guess openness to experience and flight just means like, do I want to run away from a, you know, is it me? Yeah. So that was like the basic thought that I had. I feel like I kind of got stuck mentally more on the first part of the whole questions. So I wanted to hear more about what you thought or what you were maybe thinking about that part of the question. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, like, I think the way that I was thinking about flight here is in a slightly negative way, is a, like, run, yeah, like a running away-ness versus a, like, oh, I'm, like, let's take the example of, like, you leaving Mayaguez and you're like, okay, I'm open to, or, like, you leaving, me leaving Hyde Park. I'll speak from me. Like, I'm open to leaving Hyde Park versus, like, I'm, like, I need to get out of here and I need to, like, be away. And I feel like the difference in orientation toward new experience when it is, like, a seeking towards, like, an openness to versus a, like, pushing away of whatever mm-hmm. is behind. Yeah. I also, sorry, I want to give you a chance to respond to that in a second. I also will say we do have a moment if we want to, like, after you give a couple more thoughts, if you want, we can shift to a second question here because we are already actually at 9:36 even. So, I want you to give any thoughts that you have on that part and then we can choose to pivot.
Yeah, okay, so, I do feel that in the sense that, like, I know that during the pandemic, I was wondering about this a lot in terms of flight, as in, like, you know, I didn't want to be feeling, like, when I leave Mayaguez, because I don't think it's a question of, like, if for now, mm-hmm. where, like, I'd like to think it's not, so, you know, I've sort of been trying to reorient myself to thinking, like, okay, outward, like, going somewhere. I didn't want to feel like a headless chicken sort of running away, like, like, running away thing of, like, you know, like, angsty teen me, like, still wanting to run away. I wanted to feel like I'm going towards something, or, like, this is, like, I am open to, like, experience, like, new experiences, and, like, I'm not afraid, and, you know, this is where I want to be going, but, like, that's sort of been the mindset that I want to adopt, even though I feel like, you know, for so much of the pandemic, I was afraid to even go to most places, and mm-hmm. now that I'm vaccinated, I'm trying to, I do feel like I'm sort of opening back up in my head of, like, wow, these are possibilities mm-hmm. now. I feel so much safer than mm-hmm. I did, like, 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and like, leaning into that openness now and trying to feel less afraid, because I've just been feeling so much fear around mm-hmm. transitions lately. So sort of that's where I've been in terms of that. I was wondering if you feel anything like that at all regarding, like, yeah. leaving or going, you know. I did want to hear a little bit more about that yeah. before we switch to something else.
Okay, well, first of all, allow me to remind you that it was last February or January that we talked about you coming to Chicago for a while. So I just will say, as you're feeling safer and as we are opened up more, that I'm just gonna unfold the table and put that back on the table and we can talk after, but just a reminder.
Yeah,
would be wild. We could do cash again.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, but, like, okay, wait, but for sure, I was actually going to talk to you about this because I've been really feeling it. I've been really feeling inclined toward this. So, like, we should talk about this afterwards. Excellent. And, like, entertain it further. So, like, yeah.
Yes, everyone listening, you are our travel agents. Thank you for hearing this part of the conversation. I think I feel those things. I guess one connection, it's not really a direct answer, one connection that comes to mind is, like, I feel like I have a fear, right? Like, right now, I love that I'm here. I love that I'm in Chicago, and I love that this is where I've landed for this year, and this is where I have a job, and this is where I'm going to be. And I love being here. And I have a fear, even though I did so much traveling and leaving in the last 4 years, I feel like I'm six years, I feel like I'm out of practice. And I'm like, what if, two things. One, what if, like, there comes a time when I'm like, I just have to leave, and I don't ever want to get to that point. I don't want to have a feeling about Hyde Park that is like, I just have to go. And I feel like, I don't know if the answer there is, like, well, then leave before it happens to preserve the goodness, or if the answer is like, yeah. What? Why would you worry about that happening? It's a place that you love. If it happens, then you'll deal with it, but there's no reason to expect that that will happen. I don't know. And I just feel like, there was a second thing I was going to say that I don't remember. So I don't know. I feel like that is, like, a, I want there to be, okay, maybe here's the connection. I want there to be enough openness in my relationship to where I am and how I feel about where I am that I don't ever get to the point of, like, flight, and flight as a, like, last resort thing and as a thing that comes from necessity rather than from, like, oh, I want to, like, stretch my wings or whatever it is. And it's not that I can't imagine ever wanting to leave. It's just, like, I don't want that to come from a place of, like
desperation.
Yeah. Of like, oh my god, I just have to go. So that I feel like is what I'm thinking about. But I also am like, well, I feel like, yeah, Emily Nadel, my friend, just texted me peak fun, which, yeah, that's a good concept to bring in here. Like, peak fun is like you know, you're playing a game with kids or something. Like, you actually don't want to, you know, even though it seems kind of silly to stop something at the point of, like, right when everyone's having fun, like, actually that is sometimes the perfect, or like right that or right after that is the perfect point to stop it, because you don't want it to get to a point when everyone is like, okay, oh my god, this game is so boring or stupid, or I'm fighting with someone or whatever, I want to leave. But so on the one hand I feel that, but on the other hand I'm like, or part of the rootedness of being in a place is like pushing through the, like, the valleys of fun, and when it's not that fun, and when you maybe feel like you have to leave, or like maybe leaving for a time and coming back, but that, like, the, like, not giving up on place is also part of what defines rootedness as opposed to stuckness.
Wow. I don't know if I can add more to that, but like I feel like I'm gonna be sitting with that for some time. Like, that's really, really nicely said.
Yeah, thank you. I'm often in life have the experience, and I appreciate that many people around me also have this, where, like, I think I am often friends with people who, like myself, don't know that they know the thing until they say it. And then you're like, oh yeah, cool, here we are figuring things out loud. Which I love. So I guess I'll say one thing is, like, okay, so I feel like we can move to this other question, which inevitably will be related. Are there any kind of, like, threads that you want to leave people with, or questions that you have about this question, or thoughts, not necessarily to go into them, but to, like, kind of leave a teaser of them before we go on?
I don't know. I guess that, like, relationship to place is always changing, and I feel like some of it feels like, has such a physical component as much as it also has a mental component of, like, how you're feeling in the moment and, like, how circumstances change that. Like, I didn't even get into it that much, but maybe with the other question we will, like, how I feel so differently toward Mayagüez now after the pandemic, for some reason, in a positive light that I didn't expect I would ever feel. Yeah. After having stayed here, like, forcibly in a different context, in a lockdown context, that I'm surprised, like, I guess be open to surprises about how you will change about where you've always lived, even if you maybe hated it before or you wanted to run away from it your entire life. Like, it just changed kind of overnight. Like, I it feels nice to not feel like I hate where I'm from anymore, you know? It's very refreshing.
I'll just leave one thread because I feel like you covered it all, which is that in junior year of high school in AP Lang, when we had to write our 6-word memoirs, I wrote this 6-word memoir, and mine was whatever, it's good, I'm not laughing, it's a little corny. Mine was discovering the places I've always inhabited. And it really was the year that, like, Naomi had just left, and I was like, well, I can't be home all the time. And I'd, like, started exploring campus and started hanging out and, you know, like, going into different buildings and going around the neighborhood more. And I was like, I feel like I, before that, was like, I hate living here, I feel so stuck, which I don't think was ever true. I think I just, like, adopted a trope. But yeah, discovering the places we've always inhabited, whether that is a physical inhabiting or emotional inhabiting, and what that means.
Wait, I just want to say that, yeah, I actually remember when you either posted or sent me that, and, like, I actually loved that. Like, I remember, like, reading that, and it was like,
I posted it on Tumblr.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that's genius. Like, I know,
oh,
genius.
Oh man. Okay.
So, like, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Emily Nadel says, this is a podcast for verbal processors, 100,000%. Thank you all for verbally processing a lot with us. okay, this other question that we decided on, I'm going to send it to you. Do you want to read it out in the couple minutes that we have to talk about it?
Yeah. Okay, so the other question is, what does that feeling like I'm living my life mean?
Yeah, okay. So let me, I'll reread it as I'm giving context on what it was from. So this is from, just a couple of days after the earlier one. This is from October 11th, a very important date in life, October 11th, 2020, Annie and Hallie's birthday, shout out, from the Parent Trap, to be clear. And I think I'm just, I'll give my own brief intro to this, because this is something that I think about a lot, and then I want to, or actually, never mind, I want to hear you first, because I already know, like, this is something I think about a lot. Like, what called to you about this question? Why did this end up on our bolded and italicized shortlist?
I think maybe I've been thinking about it a lot, I feel like it's no surprise that, like, I also mark that question related to the other one, because they just seem so clearly mm-hmm. connected somehow, and like you'd been in this like headspace that I'd been, so I was like, oh wow, it feels like, you know, regaining that like connection of like, okay, I know we always joked about like sharing a brain and all that, mm-hmm. and I'm like, you know, this just feels so closely knit to like stuff that I'd been thinking about, though more recently for myself. And I think about what does it feeling like I'm living my life mean? A lot was coming up because, like, you know, we were just sort of suspended in this reality. Mm-hmm. And I contend that I'd been thinking about it a lot, because I think right now we're in this, like, crossroads where a lot of people, like you said, you know, they're taking off, or they're, you know, leasing an apartment, or, like, moving somewhere else. And you know, starting new jobs somewhere else. And for me, and like, you know, them just coming to terms and defining what it is that for them it means to like be living your life. And I've been also thinking about what does that mean to me, mm-hmm. and like what will it feel to me to feel like I'm building towards this life that I want to make for myself, and, you know, in sort of that headspace. So I was like, you know, me feeling like, I guess, kind of lost or confused and never exactly knowing what step to take next, or like what everything is going to look like next. Made me curious. Which was also another thread that you had in a lot of your questions. I was like, well, of course I want to know what, you know, like, maybe if you've come to your own conclusions, or like some inkling of like what that might look like for you or mean to you right now.
Okay, I want to get there, but I want to ask you a follow-up question first. And the follow-up question is not what is your answer to this question, per se, but, like, have you come to things that feel like partial answers to the question of what does it feel like to feel like you are living your life?
So I feel like for me, and this has sort of come for, like, me feeling... has definitely come in related to things that have made me feel more grounded... or like rooted to to like where I was at the moment. Yeah, I was like because I realized that for a lot of my life I didn't engage too much with like the outdoors, or like I didn't do too much out there. And like last summer I started biking with like my brother Julian. I think I wrote you in the last letter, mm-hmm. I sent you, I wrote you about this path, and it's called Villa Pesquera. And whenever we would visit my grandpa, like afterwards, we would just do this whole thing in the mornings, and it became sort of a ritual. And I, you know, it was just this distinct feeling of feeling tethered to the place, like this town of Isabela, which I've always loved, like for sure have always loved and definitely did not want to run away from. Mm-hmm. I felt so, you know, connected to like all the paths that we were biking through, and it gave me this feeling of like, wow, I want to show this to everybody. I feel so proud and so happy to be like living here, and like feeling so happy after having finished the bike ride, and like just feeling this sense of like contentment of like, wow, I would love to do this with other people and connect with other people this way. And like for me, that felt like in that moment, like, wow, this is definitely something that I know I would want to incorporate with my, like, in my life. And that would definitely feel like part of that equation of like, I feel like I'm living my life in that sense. I think I don't know, like, I feel like that felt to me like the base impulse of, like, yeah. my first answer to this. There's probably more, and maybe if you like, yeah. add a little bit more or something, like, maybe something will come up that's similar, yeah. but, yeah.
Oh,
so
I
that was my
that.
First thing.
I love that. I love that. And I do remember you did write to me about it. I was like, is it one of the two postcards I have right next to me? No, it's not one of those two. Maybe it's one of the two on my wall. Two on my walls. 10 on my wall. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I feel like I think about this all the time. And it has probably even come up in past episodes, although I don't remember. Like, I think I was actually just talking, Joanna, I don't know if you're listening. Joanna and I were talking about this today. Like, people are like, being present, and I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I know it kind of what it means, but I don't really know what it means. Like, I can't really identify in a given moment, like, am I present or am I not present? And I feel like necessarily thinking the thought, am I present, means that I'm not. But that's really hard for me because I really am, like, in my head all the time. And, like, there's never just, like, one layer of thought going. There's never just one track. There's like the track and then the track on the track and the track on the track on the track. There's just like all of the layers that are on top of each other interacting with each other and commenting on each other. And it is a thing that I love about myself, but it's also a thing that feels exhausting and it's often distracting from like being in the moment, being present, whatever. And something that like, I don't know, I feel like lots of like polar feelings about this where I'm like, you know, I think a lot of the structure of my thought, another question that we didn't end up talking about, but another question on here, a lot of the structure of my thought is in, like, narration. Like, I just am, like, often experiencing things, not always, often, though, experiencing things in terms of, like, how I would describe them to myself or to another person or how I would write them down. And I do think that that's not totally a bad thing. I find, like, obviously writing and verbally processing things to be very helpful for me, but it also is something that feels like it takes me away from being in the moment. And so I feel like one, I don't know, one part of my answer to like, what does it feel like I'm living my life is like when I'm not thinking about the question, like, does this feel like I'm living my life? And when I'm not thinking about the question of like, am I present? Am I here? But that feels like I'm almost setting myself up for failure and having that be my answer. Cause I'm like, well, I really rarely feel like that. And also, maybe the parts of me that are like always thinking about my experience and what I'm thinking, the parts of me that are thinking about what I'm thinking about, like maybe those are things to like figure out how to honor more and also how to quiet sometimes rather than just being like, wow, this is a thing that makes me feel not present. So I don't know. That's a thought.
Yeah. I feel like I also always have this like that meta thought structure though. I do feel like sometimes when I'm talking to friends, like I'm with friends, I can feel myself trying to be more present, and I can just do that when I do try to like expand on like what I'm thinking, the layers, I feel like sometimes I don't think they always struggle in parsing it out, but it always feels like I don't know how to tell, like explain what I'm thinking in a non-convoluted way.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like, yes. Oh, my, like, is this making any sense at all? And, like, that was one of the reasons why I was, like, so nervous about this. I'm like, you know, is this going to not be convoluted at all, whatever, like, however this is going to go?
Y'all, give her some love. Send her some love in the chat or in text to me so we can talk about it after. But go on.
Yeah, but I guess, like, another part of me has sort of lately been, like, you know, I have to believe that, like, my friends like me for a reason, and like I'm not gonna think that too much, and like they appreciate what I have to say, so mm-hmm. I'm not thinking about it too much, but I don't know, but I do feel like I think about this more of like, what does it mean to like, am I living my life more when I'm alone? Like this comes up a lot more, not when I'm necessarily with people, but more like when I'm reflecting on my own, which is, you know, very, very internal processing of like when I definitely process this alone until I decide, like, okay, maybe am I going to breach this with someone, or, like, maybe the thought's not settled enough yet for me to, you know, like, make it alive with someone else. Though yeah. I feel like I've been trying to be that way less and try to, like, you know, invite people more into, like, this is what I'm thinking so far to see what would happen with that. Like, I don't know if that feels that way to you. Like, sometimes that feels kind of vulnerable, especially when I don't really know where it's going, or maybe I'm afraid of where it's going sometimes, or like, you know, I'm sometimes afraid of what conclusions I might come to,
yes.
which right? So I'm like, I feel like it's like the specter of like, oh my God, this might end up being negative. Of like, what if I just push this away and like, I'm not gonna interact with that right now. And then I just don't. And like, I feel like lately now I'm like, okay, I need to confront what I'm feeling. And like, I have feeling more, and I feel like that might be a solution to like feeling more rooted with yourself, which I don't know like how rooted within yourself you feel, but I feel like I've been really struggling with like wanting to feel more like connected with myself and like what I'm thinking, because I sometimes that fear of like what will be the ultimate conclusion of some thought that I'm having like might frightens me away from myself sometimes.
Okay, I have so much to respond to, and we literally don't have any time for any of it. I will just say threads here are about narration and about meaning and about convolution and about reflecting on the things when you're on your own and about archives and many other things. I'll just leave those as threads. I'm going to move us into the couple of things that we're going to do before we end. One of them, I have been peer pressured into asking you this question, but we really don't have a lot of time for any of these questions, so you just have to, you gotta answer with the first thing that comes to your mind. Sorry if that's stressful. What is your favorite word to spell?
I don't know if I have that answer, but like I'm just gonna go back to like a word that maybe I chose in eighth grade was like feijoada, which is I think it has to do with a black bean related Brazilian dish. I just love how that sounds, like it's just even saying it. It's
feijoada.
Yeah, feijoada.
Amazing. Okay, next question. What is a question that has been on your mind of late?
Kind of an intense question, which is sort of like, will Puerto Rico ever be free?
Mm-hmm.
kind of a big question.
Next question, we just really gotta keep going, is who is someone who you want to nominate to be on this show?
I for some reason have two answers, and one of them is your sister Naomi, and the other one is Alexander Sanchez, because he's sort of like, he's an accidental thread that we ended up having, and he ended up studying with you, but you've also known who he was since we were like in eighth grade. So
yeah,
I thought that would be interesting, and he could be a good candidate.
Oh, amazing. Okay. We're going to do the most lightningest lightning round, which is, like one word answers truly. How do you decide things?
Telling the part of myself that's like, that wants to not do it, to like shut up and just, you know, it's like, okay, just stop, like stopping my worst instinct.
Okay. What is laziness?
Maybe not refusing to do the thing that you, I don't know. That's the refusing to do the thing that you actually want to do, but not really, like that doesn't feel exactly right, but like sometimes I feel that about myself, but that's another
last lightning round question is, love a feeling or an action?
I'm inclined to feel kind of like both things are related. I think a lot with my, you know, with feelings, but like it's like, it almost feels like there's like, well, technically it's an actions, but I do feel this as an emotion a lot, so like I don't, you know, I think feelings a lot.
I just want to say thank you, first of all, thank you. Second of all, I just want to say everyone fails at lightning round, but it is always the best thing. Everyone, I'm like, one word answer, some people are like, oh,
no,
here's my three. but okay, thank you, Juliana, so much. I love you so much for being on the show and in general. Thank you to everyone who is listening. I want to hear your thoughts on everything. And I want to hear what you loved and what you're thinking about, questions that you have, etc. Definitely, I love to read to the people who are on the show, like comments that people sent me throughout and comments that people send me after. So I want to hear those as well. Things that you, your favorite things about Juliana, whatever. And just thank you all. I'm going to, Julie, you can stay on, but mute yourself. I'm going to play an outro song, and I will see you all in a week for the next episode of Big Little Questions. Okay, playing our final song. Julie, say your bye.
Bye. I had a lot of fun doing this.
Amazing. Okay, we are out after this song.
Yo me siento al fin feliz. La tristeza no es para mí. ¿Y qué me importa lo que viví? Si me regalan el futuro, no lo quiero sin ti.
Ay, no me digas no.
Si escondes algo,
dámelo.
Porque llegó la hora de estar conmigo. Pues el destino así lo escribió. Si es amor, abrázame con ganas. Si no lo es, tal vez será mañana. Estando juntos.